Mr. Cowan's real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Cowan's?
I think on the 16th of June, 1919.
And your father, what did he do?
No father, my father died.
So your mother was a widow? Did she remarry at all?
No.
So did she have to go out to work to keep your family?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What did she do?
King's house is cleaning. I have two brothers, two elder brothers, and worked at the pit. But on the strike, they were working on the strike, so they had back on.
So it mustn't have been a very comfortable life.
A very hard life. I've seen the woman with no shoes on at times. So the strike was over. And I used to get help from the Salvation Army. Salvation Army was just a super other people and happy to live with the pit on strike.
What was Felling like? What kind of an area was it?
Just a small village. I think my son gets it. A little village, a little pit village.
Very close community?
Yes.
Your brothers, you say, were older than you, and they were working.
Yes.
But of course, before they start to work, life must have been pretty hard for you.
Yeah.
What memories of your childhood have you got?
Well, just that I went to school when I was four and five, and after a few years after the same, what that I used to go and make a paper out and make a film. One of my mother, to help my mother out. So I was trying to make a few shims here and there for helping my mother out, doing messages and doing paper runs.
You said that during the strike things were obviously very hard. Did you, were you in the soup kitchens? Were they available to you?
I had to go to the soup kitchens every day for soup. Salvation Army was disinfected every day. And I once went to Salvation Army and I hardly any shoes on me fit in. The Salvation Army captain took us in and gave us a voucher for a pair of shoes and two pairs of socks. So I'm very, very good people in the family. Very, very good.
The school life that you had, did school help at all in any way with?
Not very much, friendly, isn't it? Not very much.
There weren't kind of free issues of shoes or clothing, that kind of thing.
We were lucky for a few, maybe a cup of milk, a little room hollocks, that's all we had in there.
Did your mother have a pension? Father
no, no pensions in there, she had no pensions.
So the only income you had was what your mother earned and what you picked up as, or your brothers picked up as, in their jobs.
That's all we had.
Clothing, was that just passed down to you?
Passed down. I had two good friends. One was a butcher in Felling, had two sons, and one I was about the same size as the woman. They used to pass most of the clothes to me for the time. Most of the toys used to pass as well. But occasionally I had an uncle that lived two doors from us. He was on the Felling Council. The regular people were the Felling Council. He used to treat me occasionally for one or two things. He used to buy me one or two things. So I didn't do so bad that way. And when he got a bit of money, his job was better, and the cycle was over. He sort of kept me in some shoes and stopped me to take me for days out.
What was food like that you were getting in the house?
Well, just every day, bits and pieces of eggs and whatnot, and sometimes corned beef and whatever you were getting, fish and whatnot. I think it was cheap to get a whole lot going at the table.
But your mother kept you well fed?
Oh, yes, as best as she could anyway. I was always well fed.
Can you describe the house that you lived in?
That was just one house, and that's a fly then. It was one big house with a big room where we all used to live. And with a little back kitchen, a big hot fire, and two beds in it. Two beds for my brother. When I was little, I used to sleep with my mum. And later on, when the brothers got married, he had so that I had to sleep with him, and then I had a bed to myself. Just one big room, I thought it was.
So you both slept and lived in the same room?
Yes, yeah. The toilet was outside. The toilet was outside.
Will there be earth closets at that time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just cold water into the house?
Cold water. It was a carry of water from the tap outside. And then eventually got the taps inside the house after that.
Was it a council house or a private?
Council house, a council house.
So your mother would have to find a rent.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Which mustn't have been easy as well.
No. 40 rents once, so they rent, yes. But we must have managed to get a link up. And to the other brother, he got another job from the pity. The pig broke up, so he got a job driving somewhere, so he wouldn't survive then, so a bit more coming in.
Living in the community, were they helpful?
People? Oh yes, the community, very helpful. All friends. Them days you could use your doors open and there was nothing away from coming soon. Anybody was friends. And any trouble, they were all there helping you out. They're all there for you.
Where did you spend your leisure hours, your playing hours as a child?
Well, them days we used to play outside most of the time. Any fields it was open, we were playing football or trying to play cricket, but most of us were playing marbles in the back lane and kicking ball about in the back lane, because all the back lanes in days, there was no fields, very few fields that was open. During 10 years, we were playing football and we went to school, and that was about half an hour for a week. But eventually, we had a football team, and I went again on the school football team, and I was playing different places every Saturday morning, so and that's a bit of an entertainment with it.
You say you started school at 5 years of age. Which school did you go to?
Went to High Friends School.
And was this?
It's a school that was about 50 or 60 yards from me, next to that. You started the infants and you gradually worked up to the High Friends. The infants was from 5 to 9. And then from 9 years to go to the high school, and then it was 9 to 14. I was 14 years of age.
Have you any memories of any particular teachers?
No, not really. Just one that was very good. Mr. Neela, he was a sports teacher. He was quite good. I haven't got any memory of the teacher that was in the school at all. But as I say, these days you don't.
Discipline was pretty strict in the school?
Very, very strict. After many times, I've been in the cane many times. And I've come in and said, I'm crying and my fingers tingling. She says, serve me for being sick. I always got the back end of the stick. Many times, I've got two clips. I said, get the stick off the teacher. And I went in crying. I said, a clip off my mother because I had been doing so bad. Discipline was really, really good. Anyway, it was good for us because we learned where our manners were and what we were doing to do bad or good. It really happens. So it was a good discipline. I don't condone it at all.
The education that you got, do you think it served you in your later years?
Well, in the end days, I think it did, because I mean, in the end days, you could do your times table. I mean, I'm going back to this day, I can't even do a times table. That's about a computer. But in the end days, you said everything in your head. And if you're good at one thing, you might be bad at something else. But you used to have favourite lessons, you see. And I was quite good at the taking. I used to hate geography, history, but anything else, I used to be keen on. But eventually I loved it. I mean, them days are the hardest subjects, because algebra, you don't get it nowadays. But that's another thing I used to hate. There wasn't many children went to school like algebra.
at that time, in that period of time, were many children from quite poor homes like yourself?
Yes, quite a few. And it's quite a few, you see the standard of the teaching, because it's quite a few went from there to high school. These high schools here, of course, the men had the parents might have had the money for the center, but they had to have sorted their own for school uniforms. Then these uniforms, you had to be a high school to get a uniform, which you didn't go to school in any other thing. You look if you had a pair of clothes, a pair of socks, and a pair of shoes on your feet. They were that hard then days.
Did you have to sit an examination for higher education?
No. If you wanted to go to high school, you just sit. But the teacher, the headmaster will tell you if you're good enough to go to high school. But then these people couldn't afford to send their children to high school. So I started when I was 40, I was glad to get out of school.
There'd be a pretty tough community around in South Tyneside, Felling area.
Yeah, oh, pretty tough all right. It had to be very tough, because there wasn't much money in those good end years.
You'd have to hold your own within the community,
oh,
did
yes,
you?
Yes.
Did the church play any part in your life, your early life?
I used to go to church. It's a Sunday school. I was made to go to Sunday school. Whether you were poor or what, most of the people used to meet at the end of the Sunday school. If I didn't get a star on the card, I think a crack again. But my mother was very strict with the church.
Did she go to church?
No, I'm afraid she didn't know. She was one of the kind of years, because when she died, she was 87. So she was kind of easy then. So,
did you join the Boy Scouts or the Church Light Brigade?
I was during the Salvation Army, Boy Brigade. Which is just a short way now. I went to the Scouts. I went to the Scouts when I was about 14.
Did you have to pay for your uniform in the Scouts?
Yes. Mm-hmm, yeah. I was fortunate about being afraid to pay for my uniform.
What did you get as a uniform?
Well, you get a pair of trousers, your scarf and a towel and your little hat and whatnot. It was usual things.
What kind of activities did the Scouts do that you got involved in?
Just go camping for different nights and days. And I think we had a few days holidays to go with camping and do all the Scout tricks, which I can't remember much of them.
Did you do drills?
Oh yes, I was marching up and down.
You left school when you were 14, what happened to you then?
When I was 14, it was very little money, as I said, in the city, and both girls are getting married then, as in my mother and I. I kept my paper, I had a weekly paper round and a Sunday paper round, and it was a big one at the time to make some money. And I went and got a job straight away on the building site. I didn't have to pick them out of a can warm place and make the tea for the joiners and the bakery and that. I think we worked them days, we worked 7 and 6 a week, plus a few tips from the bricklayers and the joiners. We should get them, make their tea and get their messages for them. And that was a job. And then I was on there for about 8 months till the building site finished. And after the building site, I got a job as a van lad in a cardboard box factory.
That was driving the van, or learning to drive the van?
I was just a help on the van, at that time being, just to carry cardboard boxes and whatnot, and learning to drive at the same time, you know. I got a few help there, and my mother was too.
What hours did you work?
Well, on the business side, it was from 7:30 in the morning till 5:00 at night.
And that includes Saturdays?
So 12:00.
And you said you got 7 and 6 months for that?
Yes, yeah.
Which you would hand over to your mother?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to get pocket money?
I made me pocket money with the papers. That was in the papers. I said there were the late papers on a Saturday, footballs and what, and a few couple of that. If I wanted anything, I'd go to the cinema or something. I used to get maybe 6 months off my mum. 6 months was long with NDA sickness.
The same hours as a van lad?
The van was 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 at night. It was the same Saturday morning until 12 o'clock. But I was trying to run. At the same time, I said, go to a chapel in Gateshead. I met some lads that was going to a chapel in Gateshead. And I said, what a chapel? I forget the name of the street now. Met some lads at a chapel. And I should play football for a team. And I met the chap that got me a job in a coat works after that. So I left a cowboy box happy. As I passed my test in the... Well, he didn't need a test for that in them days. The manager of the cowboy box was a lovely fella. And he says to me one day, come pick my rover up. From now, I say, I have no license. He says, you've been learning to drive all the time, you've got a license. And he gave me a half a crown. He said, go down to the town hall and get your license. He asked me to drive, and that's the driver to take me down. That's the way I got my license. So anyway, after that, I got a job in the coal rooms. I was at the coal rooms in 19, driving during the army.
Was this a better wage?
Oh, yes, yeah. Shift working. I was in the boiler house in the coal rooms. I was working there till I joined the army.
So what was the work in the boiler house that you did?
Actually, they were empty wagons of coal down the chute. But they worked the chute to come and feed the boilers. And then the boilers were the boilermen, you know. Cleaning and whatnot.
How old were you when you started that job?
I started that job when I was, 17.
And you were there, you used to say, until you went into the army. And was it the same job all the time that you were there for those years?
And then the problems were... change from the boiler house, I went to what they call the salt house where they make the ammonia salt was sent abroad. It came through the hoppers and from the hot coal boiler. I was only there for about a year. It was a change of the job as well.
It must have been pretty arduous work, was it?
It was pretty arduous work. I was saying, she's hungry. I haven't waited until I had another half sacks full of salt. And he said, so sew them up and hung them all over the place till the trucks came and took them away. The boiler house wasn't so much. It was hard when you were ending the coats of doing the chute. That was especially in the winter when you couldn't get the trucks moved. You said that if you went moving down the line, you know, this would be in line all night. If you're a night shift, it was worse still, if it was bad weather. But it was not hard, but it was work out with it. I enjoyed it.
Was it an unhealthy atmosphere to work in? I'm thinking in particular of the salt works that you're in.
No, I don't think. It never affected my health. At the same time, I was playing football for a big team. I went to play for Ashington, for a big team, and different things. I tried everything, as a matter of fact. I played in a dance band. So one thing I had to go, I took the football and played a dance band. So I took the dance band and then the football.
Were you a self-taught musician?
Yes, self-taught, yes.
What did you play?
I double bass. I used to go to a local dance in Gateshead, regular. And I got another four members of the band, and I said, no, the double bass player very well. And it was just one of these hops in, which you would do a regular, happy, good little thing. And I said, oh, I have good music here. Could I pick any tune of the year? And he saw me one day mucking about with the double bass, like he said, have you tried to learn it, Bill? And this lad said, I'll teach you the fundamentals of it. And so one night I went to dance, and the double bass player didn't turn up, and the piano player says, come on, Bill, now's your chance. You can see what you do. I said, I went up and I didn't make any mistakes. I said, I played by ear. And I could play a double bass as good as anybody. I said, I learned for the engineer, I went to a big dance band after that. At the Oxford Galleries in Newcastle.
I was going to ask you what, as an adolescent, you know, what kind of things you did for in your free time. You've mentioned dances and dance bands and playing football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were there other activities that a young, growing man got up to in those days?
I think I fulfilled what I was doing. I mean, I couldn't give them all up at the time. I was So as well, the chapel on a Sunday, church on a Sunday, our chapel was a little local chapel in Gated. We sing in the choir, and then in the night time, I'd run off for the pint with some of the people there. It was a little church movement. I said, it's my weekends with those. And then forget it, I was just trying to work on weekends with a shift job and a club on the sea. So I had to keep changing shifts if I could. And it got difficult that to give one up to the other. So I had to cut a little bit.
Ashington, you say, was a good football team at that time. Was this in the old North Eastern League?
Yes, that's right, North Eastern League.
Which was a professional or semi-professional league.
All of the teams, reserve teams in there, Leeds United and Manchester. And that was when the Bobby Charltons and the Midlands were only schoolboys at Ashington.
What position did you play?
Well, I picked two positions, I played half back and inside forward.
And how long were you with them? Right up to the war again?
Yeah, I was there from about 18 and a half to 20.
Were you paid for playing for them?
No, you only got expenses. Then they only got expenses. Eventually, yeah, I only got maybe a pound or something. But then it was mostly sport that they gave you. It wasn't there.
The years that you said you were working in the one place, and the war's approaching, were there any indications or signs that things weren't going well on the continent? That
well, we all knew it about 1939. There was trouble. I always remember when I was doing the papers on a Sunday. I was still doing the papers. I thought I was 18. There was a Sunday paper. A Sunday paper came out, and it was. The war had broken out in Abyssinia. I think that was the start of it. I said, and they realised from then on that there was trouble amongst the family somewhere. And it was until the middle of 1939 that we realised that there was trouble ahead. And before the trouble started, I tried to join the RAF. And they said they couldn't take us because I was in a coup. A service group, and there's what they call a corner group. I was in the area, so they couldn't take me. I had to take what they gave me. And I went up for my first servant group. They told me I'd be called up in an army, in the army, the DLI. They gave me the date I would be going up, that was the 15th of January.
Were you quite happy at being put in the DLI?
I was quite happy. I wasn't worried. I had a couple of friends from Fulham that went with me, joined up the same day with me. So, them days you were quite friendly with quite a few chaps. I was surprised when we got the train from Newcastle to Bransford. It was quite full with the servicemen going to join the army. How many I really knew, you know, still playing football and different things, going to dances and whatnot.
Were there any, immediately before the outbreak of the war, were there any preparations in the area for defence, or were the putting of shelters and things?
Oh yes, I was starting to put the shelters up, late 1939, I was starting to put shelters up in everybody's gardens. That's when I first knew, and then the box gas masks started to come out. People started getting some box gas masks. And we knew then it was similar stuff like that.
Do you remember what you were doing on the day of the announcement, on the time of the announcement?
Yeah, I was at work. I was at the courtroom at work at the time, and everybody was shouting that the war had been declared and whatnot. And all the young lads would keep getting killed by the older men that were having to go and fight for them and whatnot. But there's quite a few ones from the courtrooms to join them. Quite voluntary.
Many memories at the time would be the First World War and the tragic losses then. Was it a similar kind of response to the Second World War as there was to the First?
I couldn't remember
that. Or it'll be over by Christmas, this.
Okay. Oh, yes, the people should say, they're for about 6 months, isn't that? It'll roll over. But I don't think they fooled many people. The people just thought it would be over 6 months. I think that the people that were joining up didn't realize, didn't think that, you know. We weren't going to go there for 6 months.
Did your mother profess any fears that, I mean, you were calling up age in effect?
Oh yes, I was a bedroom, and then you see, she just had a little job and I was a bedroom. And she was treating a bit bad, but don't do it after the rheumatism in her legs, and she couldn't get around.
So it must have been quite a worrying time.
Yes, well, as I said, I joined the army, she missed all that money, and I had to make an allowance from the army, and that wasn't very much. I mean, I wasn't getting very much money in the army. I think it was 12 and 6 or something.
What was the date that you were called up?
January the 15th, 1940.
And how did they let you know? Was it?
Oh, they sent me forms from the National Service Building. They sent me forms and the pass for the training. I was sent a little paraphernalia.
Did you have to have a medical before you went in?
No, we had to have a medical when we got there. Yes, they didn't ask about the medical, so that said
So you went to Brantford Castle?
Brantford Castle, yeah. Brantford Castle.
And this was before the main camp itself was built?
Yes, there was no camp there for a year, so that's how I was at the castle.
How did they receive you?
There was people at the station, regular soldiers at the station waiting for from the instructors and whatnot. But it was mostly a dispersal area, Brantford Castle. When we went to Brantford Castle, it was only for a get for medical and get issued for everything we could get in the military line. We got issued with rifles and a whole lot. The only thing we couldn't get was a gas mask because of the machinery. That makes it keep my boxes for about a week. Some had to keep their boxes for a week before we got the saddle with some gas masks, a big deal, with some gas masks. Because it was just, everybody knew where to go in Brantford Castle because you've got to have a meal there and you're going from different places, getting a different kit and getting sorted out where you're going to go. I mean, some people were going to Oceanmore, some people were going to Wellington, some people were going to Ashwell, and some people were going to other places. So I said, in Gruden, and I said, the transport I couldn't take you to that. I said, we got there for about 10 o'clock in the morning. We didn't get to I was just with the Wellington. We didn't get to Wellington until about 6 o'clock at night.
What did they issue you with?
Well, they issued with mess tins, rifle, bayonet, all your utensils, what you needed, with your packs, your bag, your kit bag with your blankets in, and blanket is it. I think the issue was a set of underwear and a couple of vests as well. But I think we've got an overcoat as well. Once again, an overcoat and a hat.
And boots, trousers, and blouse.
Yes, yeah. As I said, the only thing we didn't get, most of us didn't get, was a gas mask.
Did you get the regimental badge from the very beginning?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How did they work out sizes to fit
well,
you?
I'd say it was a chaos because people were getting so much too big for them and getting so much too large and too small for them. Eventually, by the time I got to Wellington, we spent 2 days getting sorted out with the instructor. And I went to a chapel, a chapel hall in Wellington. And got the instructor and he took them through what we had to do with different things, what I had over here, cut to a certain thing, filled my palliasses up, my palliasses in the room, filled them up with straw, put them like a bed, and eventually we managed to get to all the other things before the second day, and I started to make a bit uniform with wheel and whatnot, put myself into sections, a bit too much in that.